For a morning lesson this morning, I'd like to read from Isaiah, and we'll start in chapter 59, verse 20, and read through 61, verse 4. Isaiah 59, starting in verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitudes of the camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall shew forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree and the pine tree and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many nations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior, and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light. The days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people shall be all righteousness. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. And then this is where Jesus began his ministry, or what he read at the beginning of his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations.
Our brothers asked we might read together from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Fourth chapter, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet is the inward man renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Good morning. We greet each of you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And there's so many things to be excited about, as Brother Kirby said, at the beginning of a new year. And it's an interesting time. I don't know what it's like for you. The end of a year, the beginning of a new year, it can be kind of a sobering and thoughtful time as we maybe look at the past a little bit. And yet I hope we do look forward to the future with excitement, because the light has shined. And that's what we'd like to talk about today, is shining light. And we'll start there where the light has shined. Maybe look. Have you comprehended it, and end up with shine the light? Kind of how we've broken up the message. And I was really blessed that Brother Kirby spent so much time in Isaiah 59. I as I study, I always want to read everything I've read over the last several hours of my study time, and there's no way we can put all that here in 1 hour. And I had the exact same thought of just the fact that, like, this really, if you would read it, it sounds like today. And I don't know how often I hear about how the world's just getting darker and darker, and we live in a dark world. And yet there's plenty of reason for hope and for excitement for the future, because the light has shined in this world. And we've just celebrated the beginning of that light shining. You know, we read Probably many of us heard Isaiah 9:2 read, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And then we read this morning in Isaiah 60. Those were all prophecies that they all died in faith, not having received the promise. And it was a long time. There was actually 400 years-ish of silence even. No prophet even giving any hopeful prophecies to them. That's a long time. 400 years. I've thought about that as I was studying, like, that's a lot of generations of no open vision or direct speaking in a public way as they were used to from God. And yet, there was still people on the earth with faith and relationship with God. And we know that at least by Simeon and Anna, who Simeon, God had revealed that he wouldn't die until he had seen this promise fulfilled. What a promise. I wonder what it was like to receive that for Simeon and how old he was when he received that promise. And yet, for us today, it's even more exciting because the promise has already been fulfilled. The light has shined into the darkness. When I say the light shined, or shining light, or shine a light, what do you think about? I asked that of our family. And here, a few of the answers were angels, Jesus being born into the world, and a candle. And those were special answers to me because of where my thoughts had been. And maybe you'll see even as we go through the message. But really, the very beginning of this fulfillment of the prophecy, of the light coming and shining in the darkness, started with angels. It started with an angel and with Zechariah. It started with an angel with Mary, an angel with Joseph, and an angel with the shepherds. I think I'll reread Isaiah 60, 1 and 2. "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be upon thee." We'll key in on that word glory as well. I think you could spend a whole sermon just talking about the glory of the Lord, and I still don't know if I have a complete grasp of what that is. But I think one way that God shone his light is he did it with his glory. And we'll see that as we go along. Let's turn to 1 John, thinking about that the light has shined, not 1 John, St. John, chapter 1. Probably spend a fair amount of time here as well. Kind of help give me an outline for the message. I read the first four verses here, thinking about the fact that the light has shined. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And children, I don't know if you've picked this up yet or you've talked about it with your parents, but the Word in this passage is Jesus. So Jesus was in the beginning, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him." All things were made by Jesus, and without Jesus was not anything made that was made. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness," and we'll stop there for now. Jesus was the life, and life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness. And that's speaking of the coming of Jesus. We all just celebrated the birth of Jesus. And it's quite a time. I'm really thankful for it. The time to celebrate Jesus' birth. I don't know that really, probably, likely it happened in December. But it is a time for us to kind of refocus, to think about, to meditate on the fact that God loved us enough that he sent his only son as a baby. And what an amazing thing that was. What an amazing light shining event that God sent his glory into down to us. Let's go down to the 9th verse. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh unto the world. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every one of us that comes into the world has opportunity for this light to shine on us and in us and through us. John 1:14, keep going down a little farther, says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so I think part of this glory that was shined, as we're trying maybe to think about what is that glory, grace and truth are a big part of that glory that was shown into the darkness here on earth and in our lives today. Let's look now at Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And what happened? There was a bright light. Is that what you think, children? That's what I probably would have said. It says, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for I behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The light has shined on all men that have entered into the world. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's quite a light to shine in. The glory of the Lord is that there's good news on earth and peace, goodwill toward men. The glory of the Lord shone on the shepherds. I'd like to look a little bit now in Exodus 33 and 34, the end of 33, where Moses asked to see the glory of the Lord. Or to see the God. Exodus 33, we'll start in the 18th verse there. Trying to get a little bit of an idea of what this glory of the Lord is and what has shone into the darkness here on earth. And he said, I beseech thee, shew me thy glory. This is Moses speaking. And he said, I will make all my goodness, this is God speaking, pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will shew mercy on whom I will shew mercy. We can read on down to the 22nd verse. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass my glory, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand, and I will pass by. And then we'll go down in the 34th chapter to verse 4 through 7. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning, went up unto the Mount Sinai, and the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And that will be by no means, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children into the third and fourth generations. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And so this is a little bit probably different thought that I've had when I think about the glory of the Lord, but I was really blessed as I thought about, when we think about the glory of the Lord shining into the darkness, and really what this prophecy of Isaiah being fulfilled, it was this thing, shining into the darkness. It was mercy, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. So it's this forgiveness, it's salvation. That's what it is. We were lost in hopeless darkness, and the glory of the Lord shone in there to those shepherds, even. I think that's what, when the angel came, it says that the glory of the Lord shone upon them. And this glory was the good news that shall be to all people. And then 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4. I'd like to spend a fair amount of time in this chapter as well, if we get there. Thinking again still that the light had shined. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the light that has shined. I'd like to go now back to first chapter of John and keep reading where we left off. And this is probably even some of the motivation for the thoughts, as I was just touched by this passage, as I was thinking about Isaiah and the birth of Christ, the fact that the light hath shined. And I'm going to go ahead and read, I think, back up and just read in the fourth verse. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And I just wondered, it just struck me, the impossibility of that. Like, that's not even possible. Has anyone been in a dark room and turned on the light, and the darkness just stayed in one spot? Like, one spot just stayed dark. Right in the middle of the room, under the light, just maybe there's a column of darkness. Have you ever seen that? Well, no, we've never seen that, because the light, the darkness always comprehends the light. Darkness always flees from light. And so how in the world could the light have shone in darkness and the darkness not comprehend? Well, I think it's speaking of our own hearts. And I had to relate with it, my own self. You know, I think a large percentage of us here today would say that we have seen the light, and we've accepted the light, and I praise the Lord for that. And yeah, I think there's probably times, if you're like me, where maybe I'm not comprehending that light, and maybe the light isn't shining in me like I would like for it to. And so today, as we think about this passage, I'd like for us to look real in our own heart. Some of you here maybe have not seen the light. Maybe you haven't comprehended it for yourself yet. Maybe you have, but right now it's not shining in your life. Right now. The darkness, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And I think at some level, the whole work of sanctification is that we're seeing the light more and more and more as we walk with the Lord. And we comprehend more and more. And that's part of the glory of God that is shining in this sending of Jesus to the world. This glory that shone on the shepherds. The glory that is shining in our hearts, as 2 Corinthians 4, 6 said. Skip on down. In John to the 10th through the 13th verses. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Again, think about even the ridiculousness of all of that. The very creator of the world that made everything was in the world, and the world didn't even know it. He came into his own, and his own received him not. So even more than that, he came to them as the Savior, this bright and shining light in the darkness, and we rejected him. And sometimes today, I still reject him and go my own way, fulfill my own lust, maybe sin against him. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so today it's not too late. It's not too late for you who haven't yet accepted the light. The light's still shining today for you. It's not too late today for me. The light is still shining for me today. And he's giving us the power to become the sons of God. Where I want to start and stop will come in and out of this passage several times. Which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so now we also are begotten of God. Jesus was God's only begotten Son. And now we also have the opportunity to be the begotten sons of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so I think we've read that verse already, but I think, again, that part of that glory is grace and truth and mercy and forgiveness. That's the light that has shined unto us. And as we go along here, hopefully we also will be shining. Matthew 6, 22 through 23 says, the light of the body is the eye. And we're thinking now, again, have you comprehended the light that is shining? It says that the light shined in the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. Have I comprehended it? Am I comprehending it today? The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. If your eye is set on Christ and you're comprehending the light, then your whole body is full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I know how dark that darkness is because I've experienced it. And I'll just say, even as a believer, I think it's really important for us to not just say to claim we've seen it and maybe have in a measure. And yet how dark is that darkness when on the inside, you know that you're not right with God. Today, the light has shined. What a glorious thing that is. Let that glory, the love, the mercy, and the grace and forgiveness shine in your heart today. What light do others experience when they interact with me? Is it that drawing power of light or darkness that is not comprehending the light? You know, we really do know, we kind of sense that and experience it as we interact with one another and other people. You just kind of can tell, you know, that person has light in them. And that's, I think, the whole point of God shining here. He wants that light to shine in us, to other people. And the reality is, if it's there, you can't even stop it from shining out. We'll get to that a little more later. I thought about, you know, light has a lot of different effects and benefits even. You know, for some, it may be one of my son's favorite Christmas presents was a flashlight. And they seem to be pretty intriguing little things. I kind of like them even myself, and he got a pretty nice one. And it's not very big, but it is bright. And that is quite a blessing. You know, a lot of times we're a little nervous if we have to go in the dark by ourselves. But that little light can make a big difference. it gives us a little bit of security to know where we're headed. We can see where we're going. It gives us direction, gives us comfort. And I thought about even too, this time of year when it's cold outside, maybe hopefully tonight it's a little snowy, and what it would look like if we saw a candle in a window. That's the warmth, the drawing of that. I think that light can be drawing. It draws a lot of things. Sometimes it draws things we don't want it to draw, like bugs. But I think light has a drawing effect. And I think that the glory of God shining into our darkness can do those things for us as well. I hope it's drawing each of us to it. And it also provides direction and comfort for us as well. Go back again to Luke 2, to that account with the shepherds. We'll go back here, I think, for every section as well. We'll carry on in the 15th verse, thinking about how we comprehend the light. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And so I just pray that we have that same response as we see the glory of God, maybe in someone else, maybe for us personally in a special way, that we will pursue this light. Like the shepherds didn't just sit around and like, well, maybe in the morning we'll go see if there's really something to that. So let us go even now into Bethlehem. And so I just pray as the light shines that we will want to comprehend it. We will want to go and see for ourselves that we'll pursue this light just like the shepherds did. John 3, St. John 3, 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought in God. And that's one other thing the light does, is it reveals things. And when we're in darkness, this says we don't really like the light. Because we don't really want everyone to see. And you know, again, as we think about our own life, I just ask you, is there anything you really don't want someone else to see? There's so much freedom in the light. And I'll have to be honest, I really don't want you to know everything that's happened in the last year in my life. And yet, as we let the light of the glory of God shine on those things, what a testimony can come from those things. When God shines his light on those things, and he was able to forgive them and bring wholeness and newness of light, and there's hope and excitement for the year ahead. I was thinking about these verses, and I thought about Genesis. I'd like to go back there. Genesis 2:25, this is before sin, says, "And they were both naked and not ashamed." And you go to Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9, this is after sin. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." You know, I think nakedness can have the connotation of complete openness and unashamed. There's nothing being concealed, nothing being, all is revealed by the light. And that's where God created us to live. It says that the man and the woman were created, and they were both naked, and they were not ashamed. And I think we can take that now past even in a physical sense, but especially into our spiritual being. God created us to be naked and unashamed before Him. And that's what the light will do for us. If we embrace the light and comprehend it, it will shine in on those things and make them whole again. Remember, the glory of the Lord is that kindness and mercifulness and forgiveness and gentleness and grace and truth. There's so much bondage and darkness and hiding. Come to the light and comprehend it. 1 John 1:5-9. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I think we'll stop there. But again, I just pray for each of us that the light will shine into our life and that we will comprehend it, because there's so much freedom and security and that openness and confession. And Brother Kirby mentioned that, just coming before the Lord in brokenness and humility. 2 Timothy 3:5. I'm just going to pick this verse out. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Don't let that be a reality in your life. Just having this form of godliness, walking around maybe saying that the light has shined, it really hasn't yet, or isn't right now, because there's no power there. But back in John, it says that He has given us the power to be the sons of God. There's power in the glory of the Lord shining into our darkness. I'd like to go to 1 Peter 1. I kind of forgot I had spent a fair amount of time here at the end of the year, and it was also some of the inspiration for my own heart. As I thought about this passage of Scripture and the response of the shepherds, the reality of Isaiah being revealed. 1 Peter 1, I'll start in 3, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We focus on the birth time, but it's really about the whole story. It's about His life lived, His sacrifice given and death on the cross, and His resurrection and power and newness of life. He has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Are you ready to be revealed? This passage is actually going to cover all three sections. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I think that has a future connotation, but I think it's also speaking about right now. From there in Luke 2 until now, when Jesus has appeared to each of us. Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is one of those verses. It says that the shepherds went on, and I think we'll get there, I guess, too, but they were praising God. And I wondered it to myself as I thought about this fact that the light had shone. Have I comprehended it? And is this real of me? Am I rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls? of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Again, that's Isaiah. We read about that. Searching what or in what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope unto the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure how much farther I wanted to go there. Again, this, I guess, I hope you can see there that this lively hope that should be real in us as the light of the glory of God has shined into us. And then back to 2 Corinthians 4. I noticed this as we were reading through it. Verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so there's a fair amount of soberness even in that. If I haven't comprehended the light, and I'm claiming the light, then the light is being hid from those that don't have it yet. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And how many of us have heard that testimony? Well, I did church. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. Pretty sobering. And yet, there's light and hope, and we must embrace it, because God wants the light to shine in the darkness today. I think we'll move on now to shine the light. Back in St. John 1, verses 7 and 8. The same came for a witness. This is speaking of John. And I think we can also fill this role now in this part of our life. Shine the light. Then came the same came for a witness, to be bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Same thing for us. We want to be a witness of that light, that through us and through that light that is real, all men may believe. He was not that light, but was sent to be our witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Before we go on, I actually had a story I wanted to read that I forgot, thinking about comprehending the light. There was a young man. A young man was soon graduating from college. For many months, he had admired a beautiful sports car in the dealer's showroom. And knowing that his father could well afford it, he said that that was what he wanted. As graduation day approached, he awaited signs that his father had purchased the car. Finally, his father called him into his study on the morning of graduation. His father said he was proud to have such a fine son and reassured him of his love. He handed his son a beautifully wrapped gift box. Curious but disappointed, the young man opened the box and found a lovely leather-bound Bible. Angrily, he raised his voice, "With all your money, you give me a Bible." And he stormed out of the house, leaving the Bible on the table. Many years passed, and the young man was very successful in business. He had a beautiful home and a wonderful family. But he realized his father was very old and thought he should go to him. He had not seen him since that graduation day. Before he could make arrangements, he received a telegram stating that his father had died and that he willed all of his possessions to his son. He needed to come home immediately. When he arrived at his father's house, sadness and regret filled his heart. He began to search through his father's important papers and saw a still new Bible, just as he had left it years ago. With tears, he opened the Bible and began to turn the pages. And as he did so, a car key dropped from the envelope taped inside the Bible. It had a tag with the dealer's name, the same dealer who had horse car he had desired. On the tag was the date of his graduation and the words, paid in full. And I was impressed by the story, and I think, too, again, this shows the importance of comprehending the life. So many times it's easy for us to not really like the light, maybe, or the gift that is being shown into our life. Really, that's what we're saying when he comes into his own and we won't receive him. I'd rather not have that gift. Now we'll move on, thinking about shining light, shine the light, and this opportunity for us to bear witness. I guess I want to say, too, that if we found ourselves today in the last section and the light wasn't really shining, that is not too late. All it takes even yet for this in this service today is to make that right with the Lord and to have this last section also be a reality. And that's my prayer, is that we, as we exit the building today, that all of us together will be shining the light. You know, as we think about shining a light, that verse there, speaking of John the Baptist, said that he wasn't the light. And that's true. He wasn't the light. And we're not the light either, in a certain way. And I heard this described this way, speaking of photoluminescence. Children, you know that as glow in the dark. And as you think about glow in the dark and photoluminescence, what that means is that there's little particles in there. They're called phosphors. And they're a substance that absorb energy from the light, from a light source, and emit it in visible light. And so sometimes we hear talking about reflecting the light. But I think I'd like to take that from you and apply this instead. Let's glow in the dark. As you spend time in the presence of God, and as the light shines in you, that you will absorb energy from that, and that you will emit a visible light as well. So let's shine in the dark, glowing in the dark with the light of Jesus Christ in us. I also thought back too to Moses again, as he spent time with God on the mountain. I didn't look it up for sure, but I think it was then maybe even after this, what we read this morning, that when he came back down off the mountain, his face shone so bright, they had to put a veil over his face. But I wonder, how long do they have to put a veil over Moses' face? I don't know. We don't know. Maybe it was that way the rest of his life. But that's not my impression of what I read from. And so I just had to take that for my own self, that we would spend time in the presence of God. Psalms 27, 1 through 8. Is a lot of reading again, but I would like to read it. Psalms 27. Thinking about spending time in the presence of the light. The light, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Again, also thinking about the shining light, shining the light. Whom shall you fear as you shine the light? The Lord is my light. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. This, I think, is very literal for David, but I'd like for us to even think about it today. Now, in a spiritual sense, your spiritual enemies, the things that tempt you and try you. If God is your light, and he's your strength, they even will stumble and fall. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, and I think we'll find this to be a reality. As Christians, there's a war going on. It's going to feel like it sometimes. And yet we are here to be witnesses. And for that light to shine out of us, this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. You remember it spoke of having a single eye and having light filling our whole body. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, and the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up high above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And I think of this as reality. Your face will shine just like Moses's. Now maybe they don't actually have to put sunglasses on because you're around. But I think they'll know. And they really won't be able to escape the light and the shining out of us. Let's turn over to Psalm 127. My wife has been corresponding with some younger sisters in our district. And this was one of the things, or several things here in the message today, that they had shared with her that inspired me thinking about now this light and shining light, and how are we going to do that? Psalms 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Catch that word, vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Missed one, or maybe it's down farther. Anyway, I'll continue the thought here. How much more successful would we be if we welcome God in and let him give direction instead of the vain trying on our own? And then there was, I think, a Latin phrase that I can't pronounce, but it stands for without God, frustration. And so if we try to go and produce light, we will find ourselves in frustration and defeat and burnt out. Let's go now to Luke 2, continuing on with the shepherds there and the glory of the Lord that's shown in their experience and how it affected them. We'll go to the 17th verse now. Luke 2:17-20. And when they had seen it, they had comprehended it. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And so, as we experience the light shining in us, we also should be going and spreading it abroad. They made known abroad the sayings which were told them. And I have to think about sometimes the ridiculousness of my timidness. Like I have a gift that other people can't live without. Like literally, they can't. They're going to die without it. And why would I care if they laugh back at me? The same thing happened to Jesus. He came into his own and they didn't receive him. And isn't it worth it? Shouldn't I be so full of that glory and thankfulness and kindness and lovingness and long-suffering and forgiveness that I also would shine into anyone? And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And you know, one of those ways that brings God the most glory is really just a testimony. Again, it's letting the light shine in on your life. And just sharing, you know, this is how I deal with that hard thing in my life. I haven't experienced that, but I had this. God did this for me. Shining the glory of God and allowing that then to shine into the light of someone else. Ephesians 5:8-14. Speaking again of that. Our own testimony and where we've been. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Again, that was all of us. We were sometimes darkness. We are all sometimes darkness, even yet today, probably. And yet, even in that, we have the testimony that God is able. Walk as children of light. 1 Peter 2:9. I think I wanted more than just the ninth verse here. I think it's one of those places I wanted to read more and probably shouldn't. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. I think we better stop there. Again, just thinking about the fact that we are called and chosen to be light shiners, to shine the light of the glory of God. Hebrews 11:6, I'm not going to turn here. This is a couple more of the thoughts that were shared that I was inspired by because they went right along with the thought. So it is inspiring to see all the men and women who trusted God to guide the next step regardless of the circumstances. And even though they were flawed people, he still used them for his purpose. I like verse 6 of this chapter. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It is going to be a faith walk as we shine light. Another thought was, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, as Romans 5:2-4. Of these verses, in any stage, circumstance of life, we can find glory and hope in the Lord. And he is always refining us. I'd like to go now to 2 Corinthians 4. Again, we probably could have spent most of our time here. And I think we'll kind of just work our way down through here. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, shine the light. The light has shined. We've comprehended it. And now it's time to shine the light. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And I guess, I don't know if you've picked it up, but maybe I've kind of been trying to prepare you that this light shining business isn't really easy. And it's actually maybe not even very fun. A lot of times it's going to get probably tough. And yet, it's worth it because he shined in us and he made a way to salvation. He gave us power to be the sons of God. We faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's really what this is all about. It's that the glorious gospel of Christ would shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, And again, I just was impressed with my own self. If I read through this, and we're not going to have the time to go through this like I would like to. I encourage you to do that, but think about it. That's really one of the keys here. As we go through this, if we're going to continue to be faithful through this time of light shining, as things get real, it is a war. There's going to be war going on in your life. It says, for we preach not ourselves. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's not about our comfort. It's not about our pleasure. But it's all about Him. And we can have all of those things in this experience, even though it may not be according to our flesh. But Christ Jesus the Lord, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. This is going to be a servant shining. We will be serving other people. And most of all, serving our Lord. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do. You just have to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Remember, we're glowing in the dark. We're going to have to spend time in His presence, soaking up that energy, so that we can show visible light to others. We're just in clay pots. There's probably cracks and chips and broken spots in all of us. And yet, it's God designed it that way, because it'll be very clear that it's not us. If it's the light shining out of us, it's going to be of the excellency of the power that is of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. This is a description of light shining. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. What a bright light. What a glorious opportunity for this to be a reality in our life. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I spend a fair amount of my life, it seems like, perplexed. And yet, we can have peace and not be in despair. There's hope. There's purpose for the year ahead. Persecuted, but not forsaken. You may go through and suffer some wrong things, but you're not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. There's not much that shines light more than when someone goes through a really hard thing and they're not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. We're going to do a lot of dying in this light shining. Jesus died, and we will too. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Remember, He said He was life, and that life was the light of men. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Wow. What an opportunity. I mean, you talk about light. It's like a floodlight. My son has a flashlight. And even more than that, I don't know. I was thinking about the glory of God and it shining. And if you go and read about Paul's experience on the way to Damascus, that happened at noon, brightest part of the day, and it shined brighter than the sun. That's the glory of God shining. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Speaking, I really connected with that Hebrews 11 verse there. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What encouraging verse Now that sounds pretty heavy. Sounds pretty hard. But we're in the light of the glory of God. And it'll be an amazing experience. It will be empowering and it will bring light and glory to God. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I think I'll close with this poem. I've shared it with you before. Go light your world. There's a candle in every soul. Some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. Carry your candle, run through the darkness. Seek out the hopeless, confused, and torn. I've been made very aware in real circumstances how real this is today, right here around us, maybe even in here among us too. Seek out the hopeless, confused, and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle, go light your world. You know, it really isn't hard. Oh, it is hard because it costs us a lot of self. But it's not hard to love and to show light. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle. Without a flame. Carry your candle, run to the darkness. Seek out the lonely, the tired and worn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle, go light your world. We are a family whose hearts are blazing. So let's raise our candles and light up the sky. Praying to our Father in the name of Jesus. Make us a beacon in darkest times. Carry your candle. Run to the darkness. Seek out the helpless, deceived, and poor. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle. Go light your world. Carry your candle. Run to the darkness. Seek out the hopeless, confused, and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle. Go light your world. One other last thing that I wanted to share was in Isaiah, and it's in Revelation as well. There's coming a time when the light is going to shine so bright that we won't even need the sun and the moon anymore. It says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nation of them which were saved shall walk in light of it, in the light of it, and the King of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Go light your world.